You and me are going out tonight. Wear something cute, okay?
You always do what Jennifer tells you to do.
It's just that I like the same things that she likes.
Hey, Jennifer. You look really pretty.
Why don't you just come by my place? That was random.
This isn't really your house, is it?
We can play mommy and daddy.
No way.
We always share your bed when we have slumber parties. Jennifer's evil.
I know.
No, I mean, she's actually evil. Not high school evil. Chip is looking really cute to me lately. How is he tasting these days? You are never a good friend. You could have anybody that you want. Why Chip? You're killing people. No, I'm killing boys.
Are you scared?
I thought you only murdered boys. I go both ways.
I will finish you if I have to.
Okay. You can barely finish gym class.
That awful indie rock you've been hearing in your head, or maybe it's just me, all week, means we are here for Jennifer's Body on the path.
Through the trees.
Spooky season. This was a new one for me. Never seen it before.
I was so glad to come back to this film because I watched it when it came out in 2009, which is insane, and loved it, have always loved it. But I think watching it as like a 30-year-old and appreciating how well it's aged, apart from some things, which we'll get into. I just love it. So I'm super glad we get to talk about it.
Yeah, and it's interesting also as well, and I think it's good that we have the differences in age, sex, gender, whatever you want to call it, because it definitely seems very beloved by, well, younger women than me, but they would have watched it at that time. And I can definitely tell that, again, it wasn't, you know, watching it in 2023 as a 39-year-old guy, it might be a little bit different than watching it as a younger woman. But before we fully get into it, there's not much housekeeping to do. I always want to say house cleaning, but it's housekeeping to do. You started putting up again some of those YouTube Insta shorts on there. So again, make sure y'all check out those links below. A lot of fun stuff to come. We started last week putting the characters into D&D classes.
Yeah.
We're going to do that again at the end of the show today. It was a lot harder to do this one.
Yeah, it is difficult.
Than Scary Movie, as these were more like actual people and not just caricatures of caricatures from Scary Movie.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It does take a lot of thinking. I remember when we came up with the idea, I was like, yeah, that'll be fun. And I'm like, God, this is hard.
It's interesting to put them in. This one, again, is going to be really tough. So we'll do that at the end of the show. As always, we'll put this in our tier rating at the end of the show. And then finally, at the very end, we'll let you know the last spooky season movie. Aww. How has it gone so quick? October.
It's absolutely flown over. It's freaking me out. And now I kind of feel like we're heading into the home straight towards New Year's Eve. And then all of a sudden, it's going to be 2024.
I welcome 2024.
You're ready for it?
Our new overlords. Yeah, pretty much. I like this type of year, but when you get into the new year, it's like the downslope of the teaching year.
And right. Then the spring, you're on the home straight.
Yeah. And by that time, I'm always tired of the cold. Like now it's, you know, cold in there and I want it. I want that fall weather. But by the time you get to January, February, it's like, okay, let's just go. Post-Christmas, you know.
Yeah. I don't mind fall weather, but what I'm really struggling with this week is the dark mornings. Like, I'm struggling so much this week.
Yeah, it's nuts that y'all's sun sets at like 3 p.m.
Well, not quite. Not quite. At the moment, it's setting at about 6:30.
Oh, okay.
But it will deeply descend over the next few weeks.
Ridiculous. But all right. As always, any comments, email us, questions, suggestions, any of that, podonthepath@gmail.com. If you want more of us, check out patreon.com/onthepath, our spooky season movie with Scream this month. And the Discord link is below. That's the best place to get in touch with us, me especially, as well as the community. Bunch of good discussions in there, movies, everything in there. Beyond that, you know, there's the meme channel is always the most popular, and that's just It's not as radioactive as the politics channel. That's the one I just don't. That's the one I put something in the politics channel because it was a meme, a joke involving the NFL and 9/11.
Yes, I did see that.
Did you see that? That was about the most clever fucking joke I've heard in a long time. Dark joke, but offensive in all the right ways. I thought it was. I thought it was brilliant. Anybody asked about that, I will not even describe it on here.
Go
check that out. We'll send it. As well as all socials and all of that below. But with that, we can get going here with Jennifer's body. Not Jennifer, not Jennifer. Jennifer's body, 2009. And as always, we're going to have you guess the box office. And listeners out there, feel free to pause it or do whatever. You don't have to listen to me. You can do whatever you want. It's your own recording. The budget of this movie, $16 million. That's it.
Whoa.
$16 million. So what do you think this movie grossed?
I know it didn't do too well when it came out because it was marketed horrifically.
Yeah, I want to talk about that especially.
Yeah, I've got loads to talk about that. I know that the film didn't do too well, but I think it probably at least doubled what it cost because that's pretty low.
Yeah. So what do you guess?
I'll say like 75 to 80 million. Probably more.
Doubled what it cost? It cost 16 million.
Yeah, I know. I think they did better than that.
Oh, okay. So you say like 75-80 million?
Oh, dead now your wrong. Facial expression. Oh my God. Your facial expression is ruining
like,
it for
I
me.
I thought you had it because you, 16 million and you said doubled it. I was like, oh my God, it grossed $31.6 million.
Oh no.
So I thought you were gonna be like, I think it was like 32 million. I thought you'd been dead on.
I thought, you know, we always say you have to double it to break even or whatever.
Yeah.
Technically. So, but I thought they would have done better than that because that's
so you thought
really
this
low.
Movie like was a success.
I thought it.
That's a big success.
I didn't think it tanked. I didn't think it tanked.
Okay. See, I if you'd asked me before, I thought this movie bombed. Like if you'd said it was 16 million, I would have guessed maybe 16 million. I thought it bombed. So the fact that it even grossed the double, to me, is just like, oh, okay, that's not as bad as I thought.
Maybe I have a poor recollection of how it went down.
It's probably because you really loved it and you didn't
probably
want to
I
believe.
Loved it. Yeah. And it was the same year as Transformers 2. You know, it was a big year for Megan Fox. I was just riding the high.
A little bit off there, but that's okay. That's okay.
Okay, I'll try better next time.
You're getting there. You'll kind of pick them up in that sense. All right, so this was directed by somebody I'd never heard of before. And Karen Kusama, I think I'm saying that correctly. And she directed the film Aeon Flux. I think is like how you say it.
Yeah, I had to look through their IMDb and I wasn't really familiar with anything, to be honest.
No, that I've heard of that Aeon Flux. I can't remember what it is. Yeah, it was Charlize Theron. I remember that. And she does TV now. So she's still going around there. Yellow Jackets. I always heard that show is great. Kind of a Lord of the Flies-esque retelling. Like a lot of those kind of get done. She's directed some Billions, Masters of Sex, Man of the High Castle, Chicago Fire, Halt and Catch Fire. So definitely in that prestige TV. But as far as movies go, is that Aeon Flux, Jennifer's Body, and then a movie called The Invitation, which I had never heard of. And then the 2018's The Destroyer, which again, I'd never heard of.
Same. Yeah. But Jennifer's Body is enough for me, Karen.
It works in that sense right there.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but more well-known, and especially at this time, the writer... Diablo Cody, who then this was coming right off of her screenwriting debut, Juno, which netted her an Oscar for it.
Yeah. So Juno was 2007, was a huge success. And I think after Juno, she was given creative freedom on her next project. I think that she was told, you can write about whatever you want, but you want a female protagonist and a female antagonist. Go.
Yeah.
That's what she was given.
Yeah, and so Juno was, real quick look here, Juno was a budget of $6 million and grossed $232.
Wow. Yeah. That's really good. I would love to rewatch Juno, actually.
Yeah, I don't know if it's one I'd want to, like, really discuss, you know, like, on here, like, to make, I don't know, maybe that, definitely probably maybe far down the road. I do remember that was Jason Reitman and the son of Ivan Reitman. He is one of those, he's absolutely a Nepo baby. But he's also absolutely a great director because he also did previously mentioned before on the show. I know we talked about Up in the Air. the one with Clooney and Anna Kendrick. He directed that. And so he was a producer on this movie, Reitman was, but he didn't direct it. And I wonder if it was because, and I did see this in the production, that it was, you know, very much a feminist story written by a woman, that it was, directed they want a like a woman's touch directing.
Yes, I think that was exactly right.
Okay, so to hit on that, we talked about like the marketing in that, because that was, again, very fascinating to me, because so many people are going to remember this poster. All right, I remember the poster, of course. I think anybody paying attention to movies, especially like a guy, and it's really the one of like the profile shot where she's on her side and one leg's on the other.
The school desk.
Yep, on the desk. There's another one that I saw that was on the site that I watched it on, where she's forward facing the camera and her legs are kind of knock-kneed, where the skirt is kind of there. And I'm just like, okay. And then I read about all this production and how they wanted, about the tropes, about how they wanted women. It's a feminist story. And then I look at that and I'm like, oh, that's Hollywood right there being like, yeah, we got to market it to guys in that sense.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that was probably part of the reason the film wasn't a success, because it was advertised as if it was I think there's a great interview online on the YouTube or whatever between
the YouTube
on the YouTube, grandma on the line between Megan Fox and Diablo Cody, and they talk about it, and it's really, really insightful. And she talks about how she spoke to the advertising about how it's this feminist movie, like exactly what you were just talking about, and somebody replied to her in an email, a professional person, Megan Fox hot. That was it.
That was the reply?
That was what they wanted. So that had to be, it was advertised as if it was going to be, you know, they were tailgating on the back of Transformers, where she's this incredibly sexy character. You know, she's like, you know, every boy's dream or whatever. And that's just what they then marketed this film as. Like the two posters you just described, she doesn't ever look like that in the film. She's never in like a short check skirt sitting in the classroom like that. It's never like that. So what I think, if it had been marketed as a horror movie for young women, it probably would have been really successful, because everybody who watches it now, or like I know you said, it's probably different for you guys, but every time I introduce like one of my peers, one of my friends to it, they love it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was, they failed them on that front.
I wonder if this was also like a pre, and I might be just pulling this out of my ass, a pre-Bridesmaids movie, where at this time, I can see in 2009, them being like, women aren't going to go to the movies. You can't market a movie towards women unless it is a chick flick romantic comedy, and then it has to be marketed towards women. I guarantee you some executive, probably the guy that said Megan Fox hot, sent the thing being like, no, we cannot make a horror movie marketed or targeted towards young women. They'll never go for that. And so, yes, I wonder if this is one of those movies that was way ahead of it. Man, not even way ahead, maybe just 5 years, maybe 10 years ahead of its time.
I think it was. And it's, some of the stuff that they do in this film is really clever, and it's silly and funny. And also the film's really sad in some points and scary as well. So like, it's got everything in there. And I remember another point that Diablo Cody made is they needed to get a shot, like something from the film, to send to the advertisers, to send to the production company, to get them to kind of like back off and leave them alone. And the shot was the one where Megan Fox is like walking down the corridor, you know, when everyone's mourning one of the deaths, and she's like walking down the corridor in slow motion in the pink love heart top, like crop top, you know, flowing her hair in the wind. And that was the one they sent to the company. It was like, just leave us alone. And they were like, oh yeah, she's hot. Okay. Yeah.
Leave us alone. God, that's great. Yeah. I also saw that there was definitely influenced by The Lost Boys.
Yeah. So cool, right?
Yeah. Have you seen that before?
A long time ago. Okay. It's another one that I would love to rewatch.
That's another one that if I would have thought about before. I mean, I like the movies we chose. And next week going on with another classic, especially from our age, for sure. Make sure y'all stay till the very end. We'll talk about next week's. But The Lost Boys is one of those also that I saw back in high school. So I saw in the late 90s or 2000 that now would be like, huh, how does this hold up with all those 80s? So that one, we need to mark that off for next year or sometime.
Yeah.
sometime definitely to do. See, I know a lot of that stuff will kind of, it'll come up as the movie goes on, because there were several things in here that, as we'll get to when we go through the scenes, that I'm like, oh, is this supposed to mean something else? Is this, you know, not a double entendre, but just a double meaning. of what it is. But let's get into this cast real quick. It's not too many stars in here. First one, obviously, Megan Fox. And this is how bad I am and how horrible my memory is becoming. When did we cover Transformers?
We did the first two back in June for our summer blockbusters. So this was, like I said earlier, the same year that Transformers 2 came out. I think Transformers 1 came out 2007.
Dark of the Moon.
Ooh, yeah, Megan Fox was
Revenge of the Fallen.
Revenge of the Fallen is 2009. Yes. She was in Bad Boys 2. More recently, she's in Expendables 4.
She was in that. I've heard that movie's awful, even by like just Expendables standards. Yeah. I guess I meant, I couldn't remember if it was on the Patreon feed or if it was on the main
feed.
No,
I think it was main feed.
It was the main feed. You're right, because that was back in towards June when we had the Goofy. Where we were all over the place on that. Yes, so she is returning on this. We kind of talked about it before. And I think I made the same joke that her favorite movie is Bad Boys 2. Or my favorite movie of hers is Bad Boys 2. Because she's it says kid, bikini kid dancing under waterfall.
Yeah, so it's very problematic because she was about 15 when she recorded this. And she was...
She lied about her age?
I don't know. She was basically in a scene where she's like dancing and in a waterfall, but she's really young and it's just really weird. The whole thing's weird. That's quite a common theme in Megan Fox's entire career, unfortunately.
Common thing in Michael Bay in Megan Fox. Maybe if they ever do another one, we'll do the Ninja Turtles one that she came back for. Another, if we do something about bad movies, the movie Jonah Hex, I definitely want to cover that.
I never saw that.
Theming pile of shit. But yeah, we talked about her a lot. She was great in this. You know, I do think, you know, she's never... And that's the thing we talk about, she's a terrible actress. She's in that. I mean, she's not fucking playing, not Hamlet, but in Hamlet or anything. She's not doing fucking Shakespeare, you know, on London stage or anything. Like, what she does, she's fine. And in this one, I thought she was good in.
Yes, and she will say to this day in any interview that this is her favorite piece of work she's ever done.
Really?
Yeah. And I also saw an interview with Amanda Seyfried today. She said that she absolutely loved working on this as well. So it's quite nice when everybody speaks really highly of the production and like the team and everything like that.
I did see where they were very awkward. They had a kissing scene. They were uncomfortable with it, especially because they thought it was purely for promotional purposes. Could I say any more P's in a sentence? But that was for that. And I'm like, you know what? It probably was, because while I always put the trailer in before that y'all already heard, I haven't actually watched the trailer yet. So I bet I'm wondering if somewhere it shows.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
guess
that
it's going to show them kissing. Be like, oh, my God, they're going to kiss.
Yeah. There was a lot of backlash after that scene. When the film came out originally, because a lot of people thought, it's just put in for the male gaze. But the way Diablo Cody describes it is it makes a lot more sense. You know, there is a lot of hints towards it leading up to it throughout the whole film that there is this weird romantic tension. Yeah, they're holding hands or staring at each other. Like, I don't think it's completely random. I don't think it's put in just for male gaze at all. But I can see why back in the day when it released, people would have thought that.
And speaking of that kiss right there, second time, because you covered Mamma Mia, is Amanda Seyfried. And I always say her name differently. I think I say Seyfried, Seyfried.
I
don't
either. I say Seyfried.
Seyfried. Whatever comes to mind, I'm going to say it. As I mentioned before, when we talked about Mamma Mia, the favorite thing that she's been in for me is always going to be Veronica Mars. And there was another actor from Veronica Mars in this movie. And because I knew nothing about it, I didn't look at anything. When he popped up, I was like, that's fucking awesome. Them two are on screen together, even though they never shared the screen in the show.
In the show, they never did.
No, because in Veronica Mars, the first season, Amanda Seyfried's character is killed before. The whole point is Kristen Bell's character, Veronica Mars, has to solve her murder. The only times you really see her is with them two together, or maybe their circle of friends. It's very rare. They honestly may never have been on the same screen together.
That's interesting. Yeah, I never watched that film or the series. Sorry.
So good. It's so damn good. And it's also so 2004. It was on the UPN, which was like a teenage young person network. So let me put it this way. To boost up ratings or do whatever, I think it was the third episode, guest star Paris Hilton.
Oh, wow.
And she I thought she was okay, but she sticks out a little bit in there. Next up here playing Chip was Johnny Simmons, somebody I'd never heard, but may have been born in Montgomery, Alabama, but raised in Dallas, Texas.
There we go. I wrote down the name Johnny Simmons also, but I don't have anything else written down about him. Don't know anything about him.
The thing that
nice where he's raised.
Thing I'm most interested in is he went to W.T. White in Dallas, because I'm just like, hey, I know that.
You do?
Hey, but here's the thing. I saw this guy and I looked and I'm like, it's the guy from fucking Scott Pilgrim. It's the fucking guy from Scott Pilgrim.
It is.
He has the same exact haircut. It's so, and I know I keep saying this, keep drinking, finish your drinks when I say it. The 2009, 2010, the emo-ness of it. And that wasn't really so much emo, but it's just the indie rock.
The long hair.
I will get to the indie rock, because by the end of this movie, I wanted to rip my fucking ears off. If you'd asked me before, hey, Brett, what do you think of the, you know, mid-2000, 2000 indie rock? I'd be like, eh, it's not my thing. You know, I don't really care that much. By the time this soundtrack got done, I was going to fucking murder someone. I now officially hate indie rock more than almost any bit. To go from like the Twilight soundtrack in 2008 to this soundtrack in 2009, I like the movie Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, but the whole indie rock nature of it wanted me to just beat the shit out of them.
Yeah, it didn't stick out to me at all. Maybe that's like it
triggered
well
something
me.
Maybe
it agrees with me, the indie rock 2000 vibes.
Yeah, it triggered something in me. He was also in 21 Jump Street, an amazing fucking movie. Incredible movie. Other than that, he hasn't been in a movie since 2016, but he hasn't been in anything since 2017, except he has a main role in the 2023 show that I'm assuming is about to come out. Yep, November 17th, Scott Pilgrim Takes Off.
It's a TV show?
It's a Netflix animated show. Yep. Michael Cera, Mary Elizabeth Winstead. They're all coming back. Kieran Culkin, Chris Evans. That's a movie we need to watch. That's a damn good.
Good for him.
It's Edgar Wright. How can we not do it?
Oh, perfect.
Find me, say a bad word about Edgar Wright, and you'll know an alien has taken over my body. All right. Next up on here, at least the Wikipedia one, even though we're not going to do his character in the D&D classes, J.K. Simmons. Shocked when I saw him. He had really funny little wig going on.
Crazy wig.
His curly hair. He had for some reason a hook hand, a claw hand.
Yeah. There's so many strange unexplained things in this. I don't know if it's just to get a weird horror trope in there, like a hook hand. I don't know, but it was so funny.
Yeah. And I think my first thing of really knowing him from was that I didn't watch this show, but I just heard about it and then eventually saw clips of it. The HBO series Oz. Which was, if The Sopranos was the first thing to start prestige television, I think it might have been Oz, that premiered in 1997. It was an HBO show about prison. And this is the thing that scared me off. Not like I was ever going to go to fucking prison or do anything, but I will never go to prison ever because of that fucking show.
Really?
It is horrible. He played the lead, he was like a white supremacist leader. And so it wasn't just the violence and the rarp. In there, it was the gangs that were in there, which again is real fucking life. You know, I don't know how much is violence and all that, but I do know everybody fucking knows in American prisons, gangs essentially run it. Aryan gangs, if you're white, you better join an Aryan gang, Mexican gang, a bunch of different type of black gangs, all of that in there. And so, yeah, that scared the shit out of me.
Oh, well, that's good film. Good for the film then, I guess.
It did.
Or the series.
Yeah, it did. It was a PSA for
kids. Exactly. That's the word I was trying to find. Yeah.
For kids like me. But he is probably reached his high watermark, not only in the Spider-Man movies, which he's amazing in, but in 2014, yes. Whiplash, in which he won the Oscar, a BAFTA, a SAG, and Golden Globe. He won every fucking award for that movie. I will admit, I haven't seen it, but it was universal praise of his performance.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. I know him mainly from Juno, which is obviously his link to Diablo Cody as well. He was the dad in Juno. And more recently, I've seen him doing loads of voice acting for Baldur's Gate 3, Mortal Kombat. Yeah.
Really? Good
Mortal Kombat, which Megan Fox has also voiced in, which has not went down well at all.
Oh, no. Yeah, but I mean, how much of that is just, I don't know. It's hard to tell when people, are they just bagging on her because it's easy? Are they bagging on her because it's like incel bullshit, or is it actual, like, you know, good criticism, I guess?
Mm-hmm. I'll find some clips for us to share after and we can decide.
We will decide for ourselves. Yeah, J.K. Simmons, unbelievable. Everybody, I don't know anybody who doesn't like that dude in anything that he pops up in. Had a great cameo in Party Down, previously mentioned with it. I know you are How to Tell Someone's Gay if they've seen the movie 300.
Oh,
how many times.
Yeah.
It's that show. He plays an unbelievable cameo in there. Awesome, awesome, awesome. His role was really weird here. I didn't fully understand his character, and I thought more was going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was going to get killed, or I thought he was going to do something.
Yeah, I was trying to remember one of his lines there because it always makes me laugh. Or when he's delivering the news to the students that some of the kids have been killed in the fire, and he's like, "Oh, all these worries that you guys have of who's not cool, dude, or who's a hoe."
The who's a hoe had me just dropped, had me dead, because they just show like the kids like, what? Who's
Needy's
a hoe?
Like,
what? I need to try that out when I don't think anybody's paying attention to me. And to be like, there's a lot of problems. Last one on here that we'll really go over. I know Amy Sedaris was in here, who we talked about, but mainly here, Adam Brody, who I will always know, and I think anybody my age will always know him for, even though I never watched the series, The O.C.,
Yeah, another series that I have not watched, but I know him from. So yeah, the same as you. I know who he is, but I'm not familiar with The O.C.
He is in one of my favorite movies of all time, also directed by Ivan Reitman. It is satire, perfect satire to a T. 2005's Thank You for Smoking, which is a lobbyist, Aaron Eckhart, who when I saw this movie, I'm like, Aaron Eckhart's going to be the biggest fucking star in the world. Guy's amazing. Then he got The Dark Knight and he kind of really fell out. He's not that good, but okay. He was good in this. He's a tobacco lobbyist, and it is biting fucking satire, where if you don't understand that's what it is, you're just like, oh, what are they trying to say? Really, the hero is someone who works for tobacco, who makes his money off of it, who says it's good to smoke, and who does all that. And it's like, no, the fucking hard hittingness of it, of showing the hypocrisy not only in the tobacco but in the anti-tobacco people and government politicians and all that. I cannot fucking recommend that movie more. It is awesome.
Every time I come away from these podcasts with a big list of films,
I have a recommendation.
Already existing list.
I also have about 114 movies that I cannot recommend enough that you need to go see right now.
Immediately.
I'm just going to keep dogpiling on. I'm not going to think of a new way to describe it. It's just I can't recommend it enough. Go see it. I'm going to put a gun. Okay, never mind. And we're back. All right. So that pretty much covers the cast and crew of anybody we have deemed worth talking about. And
well, there was one jump scare who I mentioned before we started recording.
You're right.
Chris Pratt?
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you doing here?
Yes. As we're watching it, the only thing I knew was, I didn't look up anything. Whenever we do this and I haven't seen it, I don't watch trailers. I'd look up nothing.
Yeah.
And so, but the only bit of information I had was you sent a message that, oh no, it hit the R word. And so I was like, so that's all I had. And then when Chris Pratt just jumps in, I'm like, what the fuck? 2009. And then he's literally in one scene.
Yeah. He's not the star.
Well, it's not that he's not the star. And I get that.
Yeah.
Like the movie Moneyball. That I think came out like in 2012 or 11 or something like that. He has a bit role. It's a supporting role.
Right.
So again, when I saw him there, I'm like, oh, it's 2009. And the thing that shocked me, though, was he looked like he was already kind of big.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't look like the young, because there's some things that I've seen in him where he's a lot younger and he looks like a small kid. But he looked like, you're exactly right, he looked like a big guy at this point.
Well, he was in the show Parks and Recreation, and he was known,
he looks so different.
I think his name was Andy. I never watched the show, but he was pudgy, and that's why when he got Guardians of the Galaxy, a bunch of fucking nerds and dorks raged, because they're like, he's a fat schlubby blah blah blah. And so what I always thought was, and I knew when Moneyball came out, he was kind of in somewhat shape, but I thought it was really Guardians leading into that is when he really kind of transformed himself to try to get that role. So to see this in 2009, where he looks like he's already, you know, kind of buff in that sense, that kind of surprised me. But maybe I just don't know the timeline of
Parks
and
Rec. Exactly what I was going to say. I was like, I don't know the Chris Pratt lore enough, like well enough, or the timeline of Chris Pratt well enough to know when everything was.
Well, I don't know I was going to say, I don't know if it was his character or not, but he sure dropped a homophobic slur. And I'm like, maybe that was just Chris Pratt.
Maybe it was just him. He just ad-libbed that and they're like, whoa, okay.
I was
so disappointed because I've been bigging this film up so much. I'm like, this is awesome. Like, I can't wait for us to watch it. I love it. It's so clever. And then I watched it last night before Brett had started watching it. And I was like, oh no.
Oh, it's oh, quick.
No, it's very quick. And it jumps in. There's lots of R words, lots of, I was about to say F words, but yeah, like homophobic slurs is the right thing. Yeah. And I was like, oh no, what have I done?
Okay. Yeah. So what I had, and I think I had a little bit more because there were some here that are more American terms that maybe you didn't, because
yeah,
we talked about
it. I didn't
know
what one of them was. Yeah.
So I had and when I say like a re, I mean, that's kind of like retarded. You know what I mean? Like mentally retarded. Like
I know
that.
What you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm making sure the listeners, because it's just like we talked about, if I'm saying re, do they think it's like a mad?
That's what I thought earlier. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you thought there. So if I ever say like a reread, that's supposed to be for mentally, you know. I had that counter at 3.5.
yes,
and like, yes, right there from from the first she says that something about going,
she
to,
says he thinks he's cute enough to date me and that's why he's in Riri math.
And I was like, oh, okay. Oh, boom, that came out. So that was the first one. The second one, and I counted this as a 0.5 because I'd never heard it before. I think it might have been Needy who said freak-tarded.
Yeah.
I don't know what, I don't even know
I've
what that was.
I've never heard that before either.
I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
I don't know. Like, I have no idea.
I don't get it. Because I know one close to that in America, if you're like a conservative or right-leaner, you'll call somebody who's left-leaning or a Democrat, you'll call them like a libtard.
Yes, I've heard that before as well.
So I get that one. It's like literally, yeah. So that
I'm
one,
laughing,
but
because it's so stupid,
it's
by the way.
So it's so stupid, but it's also so funny just to make fun of them for using.
Yes, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
So the freak-tarded I counted as 0.5. So no. The next one is one that I had to explain to you before. And this one hits really close to home as a teacher when I have to correct kids in class for saying this.
Right.
If you were watching this and you didn't understand, I should have wrote down who actually said it. It's probably Jennifer, but I don't remember.
I think it was Jennifer.
It said, he sounds like a sped. And I was like, oh, I jumped back. The sped is special education. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I had never heard this before.
Yes. So those, if in someone's profile on the school up there, it'll say SPED if they're special education.
I see. Okay.
And anything else, they'll put like 504, they'll put gifted and talented, anything along those lines, special medical stuff will all be in there. And so kids will do that in class. Instead of saying, hey, Riri, they'll now be like, okay, yeah, he's sped. Are you acting sped? And I'm like,
okay,
I know, but
so
I'm like,
they're taking that and like flipping it.
And that's
the
thing. I go, hey, it's good on you for not using the old type of term. I go, but you're still using a disability as an insult.
Yeah.
Somebody in here, you know, it could be offensive anyway. Somebody doesn't have to take offense for it to not be offensive. I'm not saying that. Let me backtrack that. That can be offensive in that sense. You're calling somebody dumb or stupid. If you're going to insult them to their face with the actual terms. And then I tell them, don't insult people. But I'm like,
yeah.
But it's usually kids just messing around.
There's
like
layers to this.
Well, it's usually kids, friends talking to each other. And it's fine to be like, you idiot or something like that. Times I'll do that. I'll be like, you moron. Like, come on, quit joking fashion. And so when they say sped, I'm like, oh, learning lesson. It's time to learn.
Here we go. Yeah. This is a teachable moment.
It's a teachable moment. And so, but yeah, some of them I'm just, you know what? They've actually... That's when you know is when somebody said it and I'll look up and they'll be like, sorry, sorry, sorry. I'm like, okay,
they know.
And I'm like, good. Now stop it before it comes out. Like, don't just say it and then ask. So that's
exactly
it. So that got us up to 2.5. The last one I had on there was when they were talking about, I think this was Nikolai, as they're about to sacrifice Jennifer.
Yeah.
Saying you can only get big as an indie rocker these days with something with a Riri soundtrack. And I'm like, good God, they got a last one in here right before.
Yeah, I forgot about that one because that whole scene I forgot about. I forgot that we actually see that bit.
There's, man, this movie's all over for me. It's all over in the sense of, is it a satire? Is it a commentary?
Yeah.
Oh, it's getting way too serious. And like the parents crying and then Jennifer wailing and begging. I'm like, what's happening? This is too real. Like, this is way too real.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that because there was a theatrical release and then there was a director's cut, which is only like 5 minutes longer, but it's actually those more serious moments. So it's the parents finding out about what happened, yeah. You know, like the mom finding the boy in the woods and like stuff like that, because they also had a scene at the end where Chip's mom gets told about his death, and you know, the police go and tell her and it's all silent and she just collapses to the ground. And the studio was like, yeah, you can't be too sad.
No.
Because this film is funny. This film is scary. You can't also be sad. You need to pick a struggle or pick something to go with and stick with it, because it's too much at the moment. So
yeah. And I'm not going to spill my beans on the tear or whatnot, but that's the number one complaint I have, was you have this humor. You have it, like I said, at times I'm like, oh, is this actually a commentary on the way girls are treated, the way girls treat each other, the way boy... Or just horror genres, definitely a commentary on horror genres. Oh, yeah. And then they throw in these dark, super serious moments. And I'm just like, you can't do that. I have to disconnect. If I disconnect from your satire and all that into a super serious movie, I can't then jump back into laughing. I can't be laughing 10 minutes later being like, oh my God, this girl thinks she's about to be raped and just get sacrificed. And then the parents' funeral. Yeah, that's the number one complaint I have.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so interesting, just because that I only just learned that about that extra 5 minutes. I never knew there was a director's cut. And well, it wasn't really a director's cut, but that was the only scenes it was put in. It was like Colin's funeral, the mum finding the guy in the woods, and there's another one. I can't remember exactly what it was, but yeah, that was exactly why.
Probably already blocked it from memory.
Yeah.
As for the homophobic stuff, I only had two. Mm. And I know you said you only had one, so
Chris Pratt's
you know, the Magos.
He's describing the band, yes. Yeah, the City Boys.
I've never heard that before, but he had the F slur right in there. Yeah, Magos in there. So we had that. The other one is a term that I don't think anybody under the age of 70 would use. I don't remember who it was, but they call him Gaylord. Or we're gonna be like a couple of Gaylords.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
And yeah, Gaylords, I'm awful. Like, hold up. Are these 70-year-old like fucking Vietnam vets here joking about looking like Gaylords?
I've remembered another one. It's maybe not. It's not a slur. It's at the very beginning when Needy is waving to Jennifer. And the girl taps her on the shoulder and goes, "You're total lesbian gay."
Yes, that. See, I just threw. I didn't think that as like a slur or anything. I just say she's calling like gay. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because she's in love with her best friend.
Yeah, they're just a mention, but Gaylords.
The way she waved was.
Yeah, just wait. Yeah, this. Oh my God. Yeah,
I forgot about Gaylords.
What a wild ride. There's a famous baseball pitcher, old guy named Gaylord Perry, and so that was my introduction to a guy named Gaylord. And again, 10, 11, 12-year-old Brett could not handle knowing that a baseball pitcher's name was Gaylord in the 90s.
That would have been so funny.
Oh, I'm just like, oh my God, his name is Gay. What a Gaylord. Why would your parents hate you or something calling you Gay? Yeah. And I'm just like, yeah. And she's like, no, oops.
That was the whole crack in Meet the Parents and Meet the Fockers as well, wasn't it?
Oh, that's
the guy's
right.
Name was Gaylord.
Gaylord Focker, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never seen that movie.
Oh my God.
Ben Stiller is very, very hit or miss.
Oh my God. Yeah. I actually enjoy the Meet the Parents film, so.
Yeah. Okay, let's get into this. And I know we're gonna try to briskly get through this. We've been kind of longer even for ourselves.
Every episode.
Of the episodes.
Yeah.
All right. So what we have here is a very 2000s haircut. Again, it's Chip. And I see that, I'm like, oh, I'm transported back to then. I think I mentioned before Twilight. I started teaching high school in 2008. So I saw tons of these haircuts. Right as I was losing mine at the same sense. So.
Very Goblet of Fire, isn't it?
Goblet of Fire. I saw a very funny meme there, just this hair.
Yeah.
And then what it is. And then she goes, who is Phil Collins? And I'm just like, who? What? And of course, he's upset. He's like, he's just Seminole. I'm like, okay, there you go. It's a good response. Yeah, Phil Collins, the man. Love him.
Whenever I went out last week, I sang, was it a Phil Collins song? Against All Odds? That's Phil Collins, right?
Against All Odds? Like, was it? I know. I'm trying to tell you. Yes, it is. Take a Look at Me Now. Okay. Take a Look at Me Now. Okay.
I love that song. I love that song so much. And I love his performance of it at Live at Live Aid. It's one of my favorite live performances ever. And I sang karaoke for the first time in my life like 2 weeks ago. And I decided to sing Against All Odds. And
really?
I loved it. I sang another song as well. Do you know the band Evanescence?
Wake Me Up Inside. Yeah,
I sang that song. Yeah,
I remember. I think you mentioned that. Yeah,
yeah, on it was that one. And Against All Odds.
Yes. Wow. And you went for it with those two.
Yeah, that's me retired now.
Then you're done. That's it. You go out with a bang. So the biggest thing that shocked me about Phil Collins, I've always loved him. My mom loved him, so I, you know, listened to it. And, you know, Genesis into his solo career. Definitely one of my favorite 80s artists in that sense. Was he is one of the most renowned collectors of Alamo, like memorabilia
from what is the Alamo?
From the Texas Revolution, the most famous battle. Remember the Alamo.
Okay.
San Antonio Mission. I know I'm saying this like as if you would kind of like, everybody knows that. No, the Alamo was a battle in the Texas Revolution that was a loss. You know, it's one of those. Just remember the Alamo. The Mexicans killed everybody. Davy Crockett. You heard of Davy Crockett?
Yeah, I have heard.
You ever heard of a Bowie knife?
Yeah.
Okay, not Bowie. A Bowie knife. Sam Bowie was there. And so it was this big thing, but the Mexicans won, battled under a red flag and all that. And remember, the Alamo was the big saying. Eventually, Texas wins the revolution, still around all of Texas today. Phil Collins has amassed like one of the biggest collections of Alamo, like memorabilia or whatever you want to call it. And then in 2014, donated it all to the Alamo.
Oh,
yeah. And it says, because he's got a big thing in the Alamo.org, the Phil Collins collection, because it's literally under his name. And I get, he was a 5-year-old boy and he saw the Disney production of Davy Crockett, this old show that was on TV. So when other children were out playing cops and robbers, he was reenacting the Battle of the Alamo.
What a strange link. Yeah.
When I first heard that and it was like, yeah, he has all this Alamo stuff. I'm like, Phil Collins? And that was it. So he had hundreds upon hundreds of items, including, I think, this original letter of like William Barrett Travis, the guy in charge, like his letter that was basically saying, It wasn't live free or die, or was it freedom or death or something like that? I don't remember. But he had all this stuff. I'm like, holy shit, Phil Collins in the fucking Alamo.
That's so random.
Yeah. He's a good dude.
He's English, right?
He's very English. Super English. Yeah. South Park wronged him. They wronged him. Yeah.
Yeah.
They did. All right. Yeah. We got the Chris Pratt appearance we talked about. We get another, speaking of the thing I mentioned earlier about a meme. 9/11.
Yes, I was hoping you would notice this.
We get it. How could I not? Like, I was just right as soon as I heard
about it, I was like, yes.
Oh, as soon as I saw them, like, oh, and 9/11. Nikolai's playing, the band's playing. Jennifer's like, I'm gonna buy some shots. She gets a 9/11 shooter, red, white, and blue. But if you wait too long, it turns brownish. I'm like, oh my god.
And then she brings it over and she's like, oh, Tower 2 hasn't got enough blue or something.
Tower 1 isn't full
tower
enough.
One. She's there
like,
you go.
Yeah. Oh, Tower 1 isn't full enough. I'm like, damn, a 9/11 joke 8 years after the fact. That was ballsy right there.
That was bold.
Yeah, by the time this came out, Obama would have been president. But you're writing it, doing all that, man. It was still the Bush. It was still the Bush era in there. But yeah, 9/11 joke. We get a F-bomb. I'm like, well, this movie came to play.
Yes, it's not holding anything back at this point.
No, but it really pulled back, though. It started off quick, and I'm like, man, am I in? Because I know after Scary Movie, we talked about it. We were white-knuckling Scary Movie about all the homophobia or anything like that. So I'm thinking like, oh, Jennifer's Body. It's like a horror movie. It's girls. And so by this time now, I'm white-knuckling already. Like, oh, my God, what do I need to watch out for here?
Yeah, especially when it goes to like the scene of the fire, it's super intense. And then you're right, it slams on the brakes and it's just like a normal school movie. We're just in high school, you know, then I'm going around to my friend's house. It's very, very normal for a long time.
Yeah, and there's like a lot of the offensive stuff. It's almost like Jennifer was the offensive one. And then once the demon took over, she's like not offensive.
Yeah.
She just kills him. But yeah. This place catches on fire and Needy just fucking watches this fire engulf the place. She sees it start, go up the side, go up the rafters. She doesn't say a goddamn word. Like, yo, bitch, you want to tell somebody, anybody want to do something here? And then people just stand around
so fast, right?
Yes. And then people just stand around and they catch on fire. I'm like, what? Are they in a trance? People run.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of weird. It all happens so fast, and then they suddenly don't have any way out. And it's never been answered, but it's like, did the band start the fire or not?
Oh,
because it kind of looks as though it just happens randomly, but at some point the band all start giving each other the eyes, and then they all just get out no problem,
and they don't give a shit.
No issue, and they don't give a shit. They're not shocked or anything like that. So it's kind of dangled there that the band started the fire to kind of cause this hysteria.
Yeah, I can believe that. And then they planned on the virgin. Yeah, they're very interested in Jennifer.
Yes, because he thinks she's one of those girls that acts as if she's, you know, done everything, but she hasn't done anything.
But she actually has, though.
Yes, that's what I love about this. It flips a lot of horror tropes on their heads. And if Jennifer had been honest about not being a virgin, maybe she would have been alive. But usually in these horror films, the virgin is the one to live, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, she should have just been honest about everything Chris Pratt did to her.
Yeah, as she talks about, not only from the front, but the back, with the she's not an annual virgin as well.
And she says, I'm not a backdoor virgin.
A backdoor one. Yeah, see, that's one of those things from radio, because you don't want to say anal. So you say annual. The annual one in there. And yeah, she had to sit on a bag of peas. Good Lord. And she's like, that just hurts. God damn.
She's like, yeah, they're having this whole conversation about how the band is being really seen. She goes, yeah, by the way, that really hurts. I have to miss band practice the next day.
Is that Diablo Cody subtext in there that she
needed to get this message across?
She put in her experience. Yeah, so the place goes up like it was fucking built with matchsticks. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know what was in there. Some old film, that old nitrate film that used to be in there. Yeah. She goes, needy, just lets Jennifer go in the van. The place burns down. It's very clearly a fucking rape van. And it's not 1950. You don't let friends do that. Something I found I found out this more recently. It seems to much be more common with younger women. And you could answer this as well, that I've noticed, even high school girls, but high school girls, women in their 20s will all share their locations at all time. And then at night, they'll always check to make sure their friends got home or where it was. And I thought, it's like, oh, maybe that's one time thing. It's almost universal to the people I've talked and asked. Do you do that with your friends?
Not currently, but when I was at uni and I had a big group of single friends, I did. But now, because all of my, my friends were all older, and most of them have got partners and boyfriends and husbands, we don't do that, but we do all text each other and to check in still. If we were to go on a night out and we all went home separately, we'd all text and check in. But definitely when I was at uni, we would all ping locations and be on Find My Friends and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've seen at the end of the night, they'll check and be so-and-so's there. So-and-so's there. I'm like, okay, fascinating. And it goes to the things that you just don't think about, or that I don't think about as a guy. And then I didn't mention this. I just took a trip to Washington to go to this football game, Oregon, Washington football game.
Oh, yeah. I haven't even asked you about that.
Fucking incredible. I got to rush the fields. So my ass got beat up in a pit by all them. But I just, every time I do one of these, I just go and I don't go with anybody, and I go and just meet random people. Mm-hmm. I can do that as a guy. I can literally be walking to the stadium, have these three dudes, drunk dudes, kind of giving me shit for walking fast. Start talking to them, realize they played college basketball. I start talking to my coach college basketball. All of a sudden, I'm tagging along with them to a radio station tailgate. And so we meet these people. And this woman's probably in her mid-20s or whatever, the daughter of these other people there. She was like, I'm going to go to the bathroom. She's like, okay, I'll go, with you as well. We go to this, a bunch of porta potties out there. And so we're waiting. I'm just like, fuck it, I'm going to go in the bushes or the trees or something like that. So it's probably been, 20, 30 minutes or something. So I go to the bathroom. I look at her. I'm just like, I'm just going to go back. I probably should have stayed. I don't fucking know. Whatever.
Yeah.
I go back. Well, her parents, I get back there and they're just like, where's so-and-so? I'm like, oh, she's just right down there. I'll go show you. It didn't fucking hit me that they don't fucking know me. They literally just met me, and I'm with people who don't know me. And I'm just like, I didn't fucking think about that. So they were kind of really... there was an uneasiness there, and I'm like, I'm so fucking sorry. I don't even think about that. That's one of those privileges as a guy that I can do.
But that's another thing that they explore in this movie, because several of the boys that Jennifer kills follow her into random situations that a girl would never follow a random boy. Like, if a guy asked me to come to his house and I roll up and it's like an abandoned house in the middle of a dark street lit with candles, I am never going into that house. But he obviously doesn't see Jennifer as a threat, so he just goes in. Yeah, so yeah, these are teenage boys, you know.
That's a good point. If I was
teenage boys, would I would never follow a boy into the woods that just randomly approached me as I was mourning my friend. But these boys don't see Jennifer as a threat, don't think that she could ever overpower them, or they don't even think that it could be a danger. And it just flips, and she obviously is the biggest danger ever.
No, it's it's very good. And also, especially because that was Jonas. When Jonas sees her walking up from the left, and all of a sudden she just appears on his right, and he's like, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think Jonas was gay.
Really?
I don't know. Wasn't that the whole subtext that he was bent up, or was that another reverse thing?
Oh, I don't know. I never got that.
He was crying for his friend, and guys don't cry like that for their friends. Or it's like you said, this is totally switched to where now he is in the female role, where a girl would cry over a quote,
for their friend.
A girl separate friend, girl space friend. Mm-hmm. And guys wouldn't do that. So I'm just like, yeah, I think he's gay.
Yeah, I never even thought that. That's hilarious.
Yeah, as I call it in my notes, Jonas is a gay lord. No, I'm kidding. Joke. We're joking. So yeah, to backtrack some things I want to mention, because I wrote down there that it was a total rape van. Fucking hilarious line. My line of the fucking movie for now was when Needy is talking to Chip, and she's like, yeah, she left in this car. And he's like, did you get a plate, or what kind of car was it? She was like, I don't know, an 89 rapist. I was like, that's fucking awesome line. Awesome line. The model.
Yeah, I do feel I feel for Needy in that situation, because she does try and stop Jennifer getting in the van. And they're teenager girls, and they're stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jennifer is not nice to her. Jennifer wants to go. Their relationship is incredibly toxic. Like, those two girls being best friends, they've very obviously been friends since they were very young, which we see in the flashbacks and stuff. Yeah. And they've grown apart, but they've got this weird bond which makes them feel like they should be best friends forever, whereas now they're actually super different people. And Jennifer's horrible to her, you know. Needy's trying to make her stop, and she said, just stop being weird, you know, just leave it. And you know, she tries, bless her, Needy does try, but I don't think there's anything she could have done in that situation.
I mean, her literal name or nickname is Needy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's pretty on the nose. Like, that's pretty on the nose there. So around this time, we get introduced again to J.K. Simmons' character. I don't remember his name. The teacher. But yeah. Colin, played by Kyle Gallner, Veronica Mars alum here. He was on Veronica Mars.
Yeah, I love Colin.
I know.
I forgot about his character. He's a little emo guy. He's so,
so
sweet.
Emo. He's not a little emo. Yeah. He is.
He's just major emo.
Major emo. And he played a high schooler about 5 years prior. So he kind of staying in that role. Again, I know I'm biased by that show, by Veronica Mars. But he's someone I need to look up. I actually didn't fucking look his filmography up. I should have, because maybe he's been on some show for the longest time, and he actually is still like regularly acting, or he got in something like that. But he's someone also that I think the dude is great. Like, he is a legit good actor, and his comedy delivery, I'll have it later because it's going to be my next line of the show when we get to it, is when he asked Jennifer out. I was fucking dying what he said. But we'll get there. We'll get there.
Okay.
But I think this guy deserves so much better than just the roles in here. He should have gotten a fucking part in the show like Succession,
or
Billions or something like that, that he would be funny, but it's also a serious movie.
Having a quick look through his IMDb now. There's loads in here, but
good.
But yeah, he's in 10 episodes
shows,
of a show called Interrogation. Scream in 2022. Yeah. He's in Scream.
Good on him.
Done quite a lot of horror looking films, so maybe this was just his vibe. He loved
it. Scream King.
Yeah.
In that. Okay. Good on him. Good for still working. He deserves all of that. Yeah. Jonas gets disemboweled in the weirdness with the animals. And I'm just like, oh, that's fucking creepy. But we get to someone that stood out to me. Jonas' dad. Okay. When I looked at Jonas' dad, I'm like, that guy is super fucking familiar to me because he played Dauber in the 90s fucking classic sports coaching sitcom Coach.
Really? I can't even remember which one Jonas's dad is.
He has the really light blonde hair. He's yelling, "We're gonna find him, we're gonna get him," when the mom at the body, like at the crime scene.
Oh, okay. So he's not in it that much then.
No, he's literally only
in that scene. Okay, okay.
Only in that scene, but I saw him like, that's fucking Dauber. Coach is an amazing show. I need to go back and watch that. I think it was supposed to be rebooted like everything was, but it didn't. His name, I don't want to add the homophobic meter or the slur to 4.5. So I'm going to say his name is Bill Fagerbacky or Fagerback, okay, and not the, yeah, you know, okay. So when I saw that, I'm like, oh, got to sweat that name out. I got to sweat that. There was so the Texas Rangers baseball team are in the playoffs. One of their like top leaders, I'm not even going to say it, even though it's his name. His name is his last name is F-A-G-G. And it's pronounced that way. That's how you pronounce it. I'm not even going to say it.
But that word is thrown around here so much because it's a word we use for cigarettes.
Oh, that threw me off.
It sometimes comes to me still. They'd be like, oh, where is so-and-so gone on a night out? And I'll be like, oh, he's went out for a cigarette. But I'll say like the word. And then I'm like, oh, I don't like saying that word. No. But it just like naturally comes out.
He's going out for a British cigarette.
Yes.
And I say it. Shaun of the Dead has it. And I'll say it.
Yeah.
I'll be like, and I'm like, no, don't, Brett. Don't. It's America. Don't say it.
Yeah.
But he also, I didn't know this until I looked it up. He's the voice of Patrick in SpongeBob.
Really?
Yes. And he does a lot of voice work. So I'm like, oh man, he's got fucking SpongeBob money. This dude's rolling in.
Yeah, SpongeBob money is serious.
But this is not going to be the most random cameo from somebody I know. That will be the literal last scene in the movie with that guy. It comes out of nowhere. Okay. The band Low Shoulder, this is Adam Brody's band, Nikolai's band, Low Shoulder. They're playing to help raise money or whatever it is. And it's 3% going to the victims. It is awesome. There's 3%.
Yeah. I love the whole, you know, there's the girls in the class that are obsessed with Low Shoulder now. And they're like, they're American heroes. You know,
heroes.
We need them now more than ever. And Needy's obviously getting more and more frustrated as the film goes on, as Low Shoulder's success continues to rise and they continue to like leech or kind of exploit this.
It's exploit, 100%.
Yeah, completely exploiting and capitalizing off this whole community's tragedy.
Yep.
And it's Needy being the only person that knows the truth / gives a shit, because Jennifer doesn't give a shit. It'd be so infuriating. Like, so infuriating. You know, like when you hate somebody and nobody else hates them?
He's like,
and you're like, you're gonna know. And then they know eventually.
That's me with Ryan Reynolds.
Really?
I hate fucking Ryan. Anyway, we'll get into it. We'll do a Ryan Reynolds movie and I will unleash everything there. And this is going to be my subtext that I take out of it, or my reach into it, because of that 9/11 joke. Maybe this is a commentary on 9/11, on people exploiting 9/11. I don't know. It's not in the movie per se. But again, by this time, tons of fucking people did that because you're hiding behind 9/11. You're hiding behind the troops. So we're doing a fundraiser for the troops. Oh, I can't say anything bad about that. I can't say anything what they're doing. You know, someone gets in trouble. Are we going to do a veteran fundraiser? Oh, fuck yeah. Well, you know, you don't want to touch on that one. That's the only thing I can think of with that.
That's interesting, yeah.
All right, my next line of the movie that I forgot about. So this is now the line of the movie. PMS isn't real. It was invented by the Boy Run Media to make us feel crazy. I knew it. I knew PMS wasn't real. This is proof. It's just an excuse.
Yeah, if Megan Fox says so, then there we go.
I was going to say, it's an excuse women use to not have sex with me. It's a women use not have sex with me. I got to say it there with the I knew it. Great line. This is now, because the next thing I have down is my now line of the movie. This is when Colin is asking out Jennifer. And
I know what you're gonna say, and I love it.
Rocky Horror Picture Show is the movie, right? Yeah, that he wants to watch. And she's like, I'm not into boxing. His fucking delivery. Go back and watch this. Listeners, all that. If you don't remember this, this is why when I saw this, I'm like, why is this dude not in more?
He's like, so good.
It's not a fucking boxing movie. Oh, fuck it. Okay, forget it.
Yeah, and he
does it so much.
Off.
He does it so much better. He's so exasperated. He's so into this girl But the fact that she doesn't know this movie instantly turns this emo snob off. So he's like, it's not a fucking boxing movie. Fuck it.
It's
okay,
the way he
it.
Like, he's like,
he's so he's like, disgusted and frustrated.
Yeah, annoyed. Yeah. Like, he's like, do not fuck it. Like, I'm not even going to try with this chick anymore. Like,
you know, fuck it. Okay, forget it. And walks away. It's a brilliant fucking delivery. God damn, it's good.
Yeah, and that stood out to me more now that I've seen Rocky as well. I was like, I'm not into boxing movies. I was like,
Rocky. Yep. I'm not into that. It's so good. God, it's good. Yeah.
And then she invites him over to watch Aquamarine.
I
guess they have sex through a blowhole or something.
Yeah, because, and this is where at first I almost gave this a 0.5. They're talking about him. Her and Needy are talking about him. She calls it maggot rock. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Did she censor herself? Because that's what, if you want to say F slur agate rock, mm-hmm. Like maggot, you know, I'm like maggot, you know, like that. So that kind of confused me. I'm like, did she censor herself? And then she says that her dick is bigger than his. Good Lord, this woman is crass. God.
Yeah, she really is. And then as soon as Needy says, well, I think he's cool. I think he's really sweet.
Yep.
She flips a switch and she's like, okay, I'll go out with him. Huh, okay. This is just toxic female teenage relationship at the height.
Because he was talking to Needy earlier in the movie.
Yeah.
That's what confused me when he came. When he came to talk to them,
says he's glad that she didn't die.
Yeah. And Jennifer was just like, okay, go ahead and ask me out. I was like, oh, this is going to be embarrassing for her because he's going to ask, you know, or not ask out. Well, I know Needy.
Yeah.
I know Needy as a boyfriend, but I thought he was going to do that nice guy thing where it's, hey, do you want to hang out as friends kind of thing? And so that kind of confused me too, that he actually was asking her out.
Yeah. I think because at the start, he comes and speaks to Needy when she's with Chip and he's just asking about whether or not she was in the fires or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he says, well, I'm glad you didn't die. And then Chip gets a little bit insecure because Needy just has some nice things to say about Colin. She's like, yeah, he's actually really deep and sensitive and I like talking to him. And I think they do just genuinely have a nice friendship, the two of them.
Yeah. Which
Colin
again,
and
which would be the flip of a guy would be talking to another girl and that girl would be like, oh my God, why are you talking to da-da-da-da? You know, that stereotypical thing. That's not
I think
very
they
Valley
genuinely
girl.
Just, yeah, I think they just have common interests. They have a class together and they just get along and it's nice, nice little friendship. And then everyone loves Jennifer. So she's used to everyone asking her out.
Well, not for long. Not for long because poor Colin is singing this banger in his song, but man, he's thinking with his pants and he's not thinking with his brain, but he's like, man, I'm going to get laid. And Jennifer has an interesting thing that I've never heard. She tells Colin when they're in this fucking abandoned ritual house, she says, Colin gives her such a wetty. I'm like, oh, never heard that before. A wetty.
I forgot that. Yeah, I forgot about that. And it made me so uncomfortable.
I guess it. And it's supposed to be like a woody, you know, like a hard on, something like that.
Yeah.
But I guess that didn't take on because I've never heard anybody say that.
It's not like Mean Girls. It didn't become a quotable thing.
Didn't.
It didn't catch on.
But like, I'm shocked at that. That should catch on though as like a joke, you know, like if someone on a tweet when there's like a big incel thing or someone doing something you're like, yeah, this girl's such a wetty. I'm so, you know, such a wetty right now.
Mm-hmm.
Catch on as that maybe. Yeah.
Maybe we can make it happen.
Yeah. All right. So this thing is also corresponding or at the same time with Chip, who went to Super Walmart and got some condoms.
Yeah.
Good on him, though. They're using protection. Very, very smart.
Exactly.
Yeah, and Needy kind of gives him shit, but she gives him the aw eyes because she knows she's going to get plowed tonight. And she goes in, like, Needy again, they have this weird connection, and she knows something's wrong. She leaves. She almost hits Jennifer. Eventually, she goes home. Jennifer goes to Needy's place, and they kiss. Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
And I've got a wedding. No, I don't. But again, like, as I'm watching that, I'm just like, yeah, this definitely is. It's for the boys that got dragged here by their gals.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. It's
or
quite
girls
strange,
that got dragged by the other girls.
Yeah. It's strange because, like, the kissing scene, it has no music or anything, so it feels really, like, awkward. It's like, you know, I'm like, should I be watching this? Like, what's like, this? Am I interrupting? Like,
it's very voyeuristic.
It's quite strange. Yeah. Yeah. But I think, like I said earlier, it definitely builds up to it. They, you know, from the very beginning, like the first scene where she's waving at her, it's kind of implied, oh, you fancy her. Like, you like her, don't you? Like, you have a bit of infatuation there at the gig. They're holding hands, like staring at each other when the other's not looking. And yeah, I kind of see why they did it.
I thought that was going to be the problem, was they're going to realize, oh, they like each other. And then she's going to end up having to kill her or do something because she's this monster. Yeah. But no, they never did it. She, like, I don't know, maybe bi-curious, but never really actually had those feelings.
I think it's just teenage female best friends can become incredibly possessive and toxic and, like, jealous. Mm-hmm. And it might, like, cross over into that, oh, do I, like... like, do I have bigger feelings for you here? Or is it just that I, you know, we've been best friends since we were five and now you're going out and making new friends and I don't want you to do that. I want you to all to myself. So I think this is, like, quite a good film to show that and how they, if they met now, they would not be friends. Like, they're not those kind of girls that would mingle or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely getting into her mind is a sketch. But Jennifer explains that the band took her out to the woods and tried to perform a virgin sacrifice to make themselves rich and famous like that guy from Maroon 5.
Yeah.
He goes like, okay, I'll take it. He's like, I don't know if we should do it. Maroon 5 was like, oh.
This was so weird, though, because, like, Jennifer was, like, Megan Fox was acting her heart out here, and then they were doing these Maroon 5 jokes.
I'm not going to lie, I skipped ahead. Like, I skipped 10 seconds, would skip 10
it's
seconds.
Horrific.
I'm like, because she's just screaming. And then once she realized, they do the whole realizing, oh my God, are y'all going to rape me? Mm-hmm. And then they're just like, when they clearly have no interest in that, it's like, oh, this is worse than that. And I'm like, no, this is way the fuck too serious. Then she starts screaming and then she's begging.
Like, what is
it, fucking Criminal Mind shit? I don't want to watch this.
Yeah, it's a lot. And they show, I didn't know if they were going to just imply what happens, but they show the whole thing. Yeah,
I might have. Oh, as soon as it went up, I skipped ahead. I'm not going to lie. I'm queasy on that. Come on.
Yeah, it kind of, like, the screen goes all weird. Like, you can't see it happening, but it's like, it's still very much, you're there. You're there. Yeah,
I saw Jonah's disemboweled body. I'm like, nope, that's enough for me. Like, yeah. The deer eating it too. Ooh. I was like, nah. We should mention this also. This is in Devil's Kettle, which is an actual place, and that is an actual thing where the urban legend is no one knows like where it goes kind of thing. Very much on the far northeast of Minnesota on like a Great Lake. It's like right on the like coast of like the one of the Great Lakes. And so that's kind of what I think people think is like the amalgamy of what it is.
So cool.
An actual place. I'm assuming Diablo Cody's from Minnesota, because isn't Juneau Minnesota also?
Oh, I can't remember.
I want to say that it is, but maybe it's just this movie in there. My next note on here is indie bands and indie rocks. Oh my God, it fucking sucks. Like, I can take one, but it just kept going. And from this moment on, I swear to God, there's some fucking indie song like every 7 to 8 minutes.
Drops in out of nowhere as well.
Man, it's just, I don't like it. I really don't like it.
It's funny that it didn't stand out to me at all. Like, so much so that I didn't make a notes on it.
But
is at it? All.
But that's like what you would have been in high school. That was it. Mid to late aughts.
Yeah. So it just doesn't stand out to me at all. It's my vibe, I guess.
Gotta hit me over the head like a fucking brick.
After I first watched this film, I listened to Through the Trees. Like, it was on my MP3 player. Like, Through the Trees. I loved that song so much.
When was that played?
You know, that's the song that they sing. That's the band.
Oh, okay.
Through the Trees.
It was a little bit catchy. I'll give it that. I'll give that one. It kind of kept coming. I wouldn't let myself get into it, though. I had too much pride. She explained,
you had your candle up.
I did. I had it up to be like, nope. Just la la other things going in there. Jennifer explains that it didn't kill her. She woke up, the band was gone. But she killed poor Ahmet. What?
Yeah, she just trying to up.
Yeah, dude's trying to chill at a bar, and then he's out there and she just lures and succubus, typical succubus night.
Typical succubus behavior.
Where's Geralt?
I know. I kept thinking about the Witcher 3 succubus. Yeah, we can befriend them in Witcher 3. They can be nice, normal people.
Yeah, because they're not that bad and they don't. What was it in the Witcher 3? They don't actually kill, they just suck the blood. Is that what it is?
Maybe.
Because I remember there being a reason to not kill the succubus in the Witcher, because obviously if she was going to kill people, then you would do it.
Yes. Yeah, so there was a reason why we didn't kill her.
Yeah, go back and listen to our episode where
we
covered
that. I know, I was like, imagine
one.
Who would maybe know that? Who made me know that about The Witcher 3? Maybe someone who did a podcast on.
Maybe. This is the funeral. Colin's funeral is here. And the mom
tells, emo friends are there.
The emo friends are there, and the mom tells the friends that they can't mourn because she has a monopoly on pain. And I kept, as she's giving this like soliloquy.
Wait, that was not in my version.
Are you serious? So did I watch the director? So I watched the director's cut.
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't remember that bit.
Well, all the stuff I meant, all this like crazy depressing shit was in the one that I watched.
Maybe I watched, because I watched on Disney Plus.
It's on, is it on Disney Plus there? It's on HBO Max here. It would not be on Disney here. Y'all can, that's shocking that Disney has that on there. Like,
I was
anybody
shocked
can watch
also.
This.
Disney Plus is a strange place.
It is, because I thought it was literally just assumed that kids would be on it. I didn't think they had any R-rated movies.
Yeah, it was on there. I was surprised too.
No, it's
but
on.
Maybe I don't remember this Monopoly thing. So maybe I
do. I do, because I type it down. And I'm just like, what am I watching? Like, what? Like, this? Is this funny? Am I? It's too. On top of her just getting like almost raped and murdered, I'm getting way too serious for my Jennifer's Body thing that you said was going to be a fun romp through 2009.
I'm going to have to look up that scene and see what I've missed.
Yeah, but I bet that's what it is with you explaining there. Needy does a little research in the paranormal. And it's awesome that these libraries have occult sections, because due to The Simpsons, it was The Simpsons Treehouse of Horror, I think 3 or 4, where Bart and Lisa go into the occult section in the school library. I've checked. I don't do it anymore. I don't go into that many libraries. When I was younger, every library I went to, I checked for an occult section when I was like a kid.
How successful was that?
No, I never found one.
Whoa,
there's never an occult section in Texas, in a library.
Yeah. It's funny that Chip mentions that. He's like, we have an occult section. She goes, yeah, it's really small.
Again, I think it's a very one. And another funny line is, Needy's is like, Jennifer is like evil. And he goes, I know. Like, she's like, no, evil. He's like,
not high school evil.
Yeah. But he's just like, yeah, I know.
Yeah,
she's evil.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
No, not in the normal mean girl sense. Just, yeah.
I wish they had said Mean Girls. That would have been so funny. Yeah, Amanda Seyfried's in Mean Girls. That would have been so good.
Yeah. The more, again, I know Mamma Mia is different, but same as this, damn, she's good. I know she's had a great career.
She's incredible.
Yeah.
Like, I think she slept on how good she is.
Yes, 100% underrated, despite her still being a big name.
Yeah.
She's really good. Maybe we need to watch that Red Riding Hood movie that she
No, she's awesome in this. And I want to go and watch the rest of the interview that she did. I think she did one of those YouTube videos where it's like a look back on my career, and she talks about her bigger films, and she talks a lot about the swimming pool scene at the very end of this film. And she says that was the most challenging acting experience she's ever done. Just like, because there was water, there was makeup, you know, the big stupid dress, the black vomit all over her. And then, you know, like Jennifer's being lifted up out of the water on wires, and she's having to pull herself and Chip out of the water. And she's like, that is the most exhausting thing ever done, and I will never do it again.
Oh, wow.
Everybody commented, girl, you have worked in water since then. The whole Mamma Mia scene in the ocean.
Mamma Mia, like, oh yeah, Mamma Mia. Can't forget about that one. Mm-hmm. Needy says that this is a demonic possession that was fucked up because Jennifer was not a virgin. She
lied. Since junior high.
Since junior high. Another indie-ass rock song comes on. I want to rip my fucking ears out. Fuck me running. I hate the goddamn 2000s outside of rap. I like 2000s rap. Like post-Kanye, the mid to late aughts rap. Fucking amazing. But rock just went, to me, rock went to shit.
Yeah.
After the 90s.
Yeah. I don't remember what music I was into back then.
Pop.
Probably.
Pop. Something like that. I have down J.K. Simmons. What is this performance? Not that it's bad. It's just really fucking weird.
Which part is this?
He's at the dance right now. It's just weird. Like, I don't understand the character. You know, like, I don't understand the point of it. I don't know. Just nothing. I thought he was going to die or do something. He was just kind of there, which I don't know.
Yeah. It's funny because there's not many characters in this film that get like a lot of screen time, in terms of it's a lot of Jennifer, a lot of Needy, Chip, the band, and then the few boys that she kills. And then it's like the teacher has a strange, really out there look, and it's like very unique, and they could have just made him like a normal person. But
well,
something's quite fun.
Well, because J.K. Simmons is always from Spider-Man. Have you seen the Tobey Maguire Spider-Mans?
I have, not very recently,
man,
but I have.
Rewatched the first one impromptu the other day. It's awesome. That first one is excellent. He's playing, his characters are very much, you know, high energy, cussing, minute or fucking word a second kind of thing right there. So this is just a very reserved performance. It was fine. I wasn't bad, just very odd for him.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll say that about you. It's kind of a miscast, but the cast didn't fucking matter.
Yes. Like, yeah. His character, it was just really a non-character. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So now we get to that pool scene, an unbelievable scene, highlights of the film as far as like cinematography and directing and all that. Yeah. To me, Jennifer attacks Chip in the pool, and we had, this has to be an iconic line that Needy says before attacking Jennifer. Right.
Which one?
You know, oh my, St. Jude.
St. Jude. I can't remember.
You don't have, oh my God. As soon as I heard it, I had to rewind it. As Needy's about to go in, she starts to bite Chip again. St. Jude, patron saint of hopeless causes, please give me the power to crush this bitch.
Version.
It's a different version.
I must have a different version on Disney Plus. I do not remember this.
Okay. You also definitely have a limiter on your mic because it cut out the first part.
Oh, I'm sorry. I shouted. I never shout. So when I shout, my microphone's like, whoa,
I know.
Girl.
It's like someone's not in there. What does it say? Oh my God, this line is fucking awesome. It's the official line of the movie for me.
The hope, like, because the word hopeless comes up a lot in this film. And what did you just say? Hope, something about hopeless?
She goes, St. Jude, patron saint of hopeless causes, please give me the hopeless power to crush causes. This bitch. And goes,
oh,
and attacks
God.
Her. I'm like, that is... I cannot believe it. I thought you were going to be like, I know the line.
No, I'm sorry. I don't. I thought you were going to say, I go both ways.
That's the next one in there. after we get some very 2000 lines of, you are such a player hater, and nice insult, Hannah Montana.
You're a jerk. That's
yes.
what she says.
She goes, you're a jerk. And I'm like, oh, yes. she doesn't cuss that much. And I did have in here, this is where I feel like there's a lot of subtext here about why she's going after Chip.
Yes, so it's just to get it, Needy. That's it. Yeah, it's the same with why she goes after Colin. Yeah, she just wants whatever Needy wants. It's like when you're a child, you have no interest in playing with that red ball, and then you see somebody else playing with the red ball, and now you want the red ball.
Yeah, and I also think it's also because she can, because she's the top shit, and it's a very uncomfortable thing to talk about, because it's also very stereotypical of what guys will say about women, in the fact that just ignore them and then you'll get their attention. If you show attention to somebody, oh, they don't care. But if you don't show them attention and you play hard to get, then they'll really go after you. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, there's a lot of anecdotal evidence, and there's a lot of anecdotal evidence in my life of that being the case of where you're really on top of somebody, and you're messaging them all the time, that they don't respond. And
there's
then
definitely some truth to it, for sure. I think both ways, for sure.
Yeah. And so that's something, again, that can just be when I talk about with like teenagers. I'm like, it's a fine line. Don't just take one experience, put it into it. I know I've said the word so fucking much, but because it's online, that's all the shit is. It's just an incel misogynistic trope of, you have to treat a woman like shit, otherwise they won't respect you. And you can't, you have to be like, you have to, what's it called? You not ignore, but mistreat. I can't think of the word. My brain is dying. My Guinness ran out. I need another one.
Oh, no. I can't think of the word either.
Yeah. I'll remember it. But after that, we have the I go both ways. And I was like, okay, I get that. That's on
that's
the
a
nose,
good one.
Too.
That's a good one.
that's a good one. It goes, what it is. And what was obviously going to happen was the man has to save the day. The man has to impale Jennifer. And I saw that. I'm like, okay, good, good.
Yeah.
All is right with the world. I'm joking.
Did you think he was actually going to die?
I didn't want him to die. I don't know.
He's great. I love
Chip. I know.
Chip.
But I think if you would have asked me before, I don't know, because I kind of thought the fact that Jennifer stayed alive.
Yeah.
Then I thought he would have died. But if Jennifer would have died there, then maybe he would have survived.
Right.
But again,
yeah.
if you would have stopped it, and if I would have thought about it, I'd have been like, oh, yeah, the tropes. I mean, he got fucked up. If he would have survived,
it would have been very shocking. Yeah.
I mean, she's ripping out his throat and his neck, and she did it multiple times. And I was like, no, but I know. RIP Chip, what the fuck? He's great, but I'm okay. Especially the way the movie ends.
Yes.
I'm glad he is dead. Otherwise,
he needed to die.
Needy would have killed him, though. Needy
probably
would have. Yeah. Yeah. I think
so. It was sad, though, because Chip was just a good person. Like in this film, he was just a good guy. Yep. him and Needy's relationship, really nice. Just a nice, healthy, cute teenage relationship. They seem to just really dig each other and communicate openly. The only thing is, obviously, he doesn't believe her, but it is from a place of concern.
Who would
exactly?
Nobody would. Yes, he's a real character in real life. Nobody's believing that shit.
Yeah, exactly. So to see him go was sad.
It's
well, pour one out for Chip.
The image of Needy in bed, the top shot, looking down on the bed of her in the bloody dress, was fucking incredible.
Yeah, of her, the all dress.
The dress all over her, and just still, and I don't even remember if there was music playing, but they hold on it for what felt like 4 or 5 seconds. Just an awesome shot.
Yes. Oh, what, when she goes to kill Jennifer?
When she's just in her bed afterwards. Yeah, right before she goes, when she gets back and she's like in the shock, and she sits there like almost motionless, just looking at it. I'm like, God damn, I bet that took a long ass time to set up, but it was worth it.
Yeah. The dress, by the way, is the most ridiculous prom dress I've ever seen. Awful. Why'd they do that?
Oh, like bad?
I just thought it was awful prom dress.
Man, I didn't look at it.
The pink fluffy thing.
Yeah.
I thought it was bad.
Yeah, that's something you would pay attention to that I'm just like, she had a dress. Oh, that's right. That's the only time I noticed.
I was looking
it
at
it
like,
right,
what
there.
The fuck? I was like, it's so bad.
All right, so she leaves there, and Needy goes to confront Jennifer in her bedroom with a box cutter. And again, because I'll always do it because I'm product of that time and now product of the movie's jokes. As soon as I saw a box cutter, I was thinking, is there another crass 9/11 joke coming?
Oh, really? I didn't get the reference of this because she makes a point of saying this is a box cutter.
That's what I thought. And I was thinking, like, because that's what they, for people that don't know, that's what they took over the planes on 9/11 with, was box cutters.
It is?
That's why,
I didn't
know
that. Okay.
I know that 9/11's on the mind. And so, yeah, the box cutter.
Oh, shit.
That's why I was looking. I'm like, I feel like there's a 9/11 joke that maybe you can only remember from 2009 of something that might have happened. Like, did somebody make a joke of that in something else? And then, yeah, the crosses are out. And I guess, was it like a cross, like a Jesus cross? It looked like
X, that was just,
right?
That's something that Jennifer does at the very beginning of the film. Whenever Needy says that she won't come to the gig, Jennifer's like, I'm crossing you out.
Oh, got it. Well, there you go. Yeah. That would make, well, if I had a good enough memory, I suppose.
It could be a 9/11 joke, but I...
No, I just meant that as well. But I do remember the BFF necklace.
The Biffs, yeah.
The Biffs. And that falls down or cuts... gets cut and falls to the ground. I guess that was the source of her levitation power.
I don't know. I thought it kind of just took her out of a trance or something, because she was like, what I took from that is Needy rips the necklace off of Jennifer's neck, and that, because I didn't think that was the source of the power. I was like, oh, Jennifer's so shocked at that. She's like, what the fuck? That's serious. Rip my Biff necklace off me. And then she just like collapses.
They're just having fun before having a little fight. Now it's serious.
We're not, if you rip the Biff.
Yeah, so Needy ends up killing her, and the mom comes in.
Mom.
I know. And of course, we know that she's a fucking demon, but this mom obviously comes in and sees like what she thought was her friend's best friend.
Yeah.
Fucking, eviscerating her. She goes to this insane asylum, which we saw from the beginning, where she wants a toast. She wants a Toastums, which I'm pretty sure a Toastums is an off-brand Pop-Tart.
Is it? Yeah, yes, I thought maybe that's what it was.
Off-brand Pop-Tart, where she kicks people, and now it makes more sense. At the beginning of the movie, she kicked this orderly, like
super strong, right?
15, 20 feet. And so I'm thinking, like, did I stumble into a Zack Snyder movie where it's just hyper-stylized? No.
And she also punches the ball and it just goes flying, the spin ball. She goes flying off that as well.
Punches the spin ball, gets put in solitary. There you go.
Yes.
Gets put in solitary confinement. But we find out that now the demon apparently is now her.
Yeah, she gets to keep some of the powers.
She keeps some of the power. She escapes. She busts out. She looks like to be hitchhiking. And holy shit, hello, Lance Henriksen. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, who is that? I saw you put that in Discord.
The Alien
I was like, I don't
series.
Know who that is.
Alien.
Really?
Yeah,
oh,
Alien.
Cool.
I think he was going to like quit acting. It's one of those stories where someone's going to quit acting and then he gets like gets Alien back in like 79.
Wow.
Then he's in, I think he's in at least two of them. He might be in all three of them, but he's in like the series. I might be more than in there. But I look at him, I'm like, what the hell? And I didn't look it up exactly, It's a tiny role. Needy says she wants to find this band.
And it's going to be their last show.
It's going to be their last show. And holy shit, another goddamn song starts. I can't fucking take it anymore. And the movie's over and I turn it off.
You turned it off straight away?
What, did something happen after?
You didn't see the credits. Yeah, I was about to be so mad at you.
I swear to God, and I swear to God, I was about to fucking turn it off. And then I saw there's like scenes there's scenes over the credits, but I did text somebody. I'm like, she better kill that fucking band earlier. And when I saw it, I'm like, okay, good. They're going to kill her. So she kills the band. All right. Actually, rest in piss. Cold shoulder. Yeah. Nikolai, you assholes. You're dead. And that is Jennifer's body.
Yay.
All right. That's going to do it. All right. So let's go. Before we tier it, we're going to do the D&D classification. And the classification they're the main ones from 5e that we got from D&D Beyond. This was tough. It's hard to have some of these make any sense. So by all means, let us know what you think. So the first one we have was Jennifer. And because she's a succubus and kind of shapeshifts in that sense, we had her as a druid. Also, one in touch with the animals as well.
Yeah. So that was one of the big points, is that she is kind of formed part of nature. They adopt animal forms, which she doesn't really do, but she is a monster. And we do see animals kind of flocking around her a lot in the film when she's about to make a kill.
Yep. All right. What about Needy?
Needy, we just had down as a fighter, because throughout the film, especially towards the end when she gets her new demon power, she is the master of combat, very skilled with a variety of, it says weapons and armor. I don't know. She just seems like a fist fighter at this point.
Oh, we should have made her a monk then.
You think so?
Well, monk is more like fist fight, but it's more like a spiritual thing in that sense. I will stay with fighter. She can still fight with that sense right there. If not, we'll make it a monk, but not really. We'll keep with that. All right. So Chip was going to be the hardest one because he didn't really fit into anything. But because he's a solid dude, we're going to call him a paladin, because paladins kind of have a code. They're very good. They're righteous. They have to be that way. And Chip, to the bitter end, always did the right thing, was a good bro, was an excellent boyfriend. R.I.P. Paladin Chip. All right. So the last one here, Nikolai.
Yes. The lead singer of Low Shoulder. Got to be a bard, right?
We have to put him as a bard because asshole and dickhead are not classifications in there. They're
Satanist
just,
is not one.
They're just character traits in there. He's a bad Satanist too. He didn't even sacrifice a virgin. What a fucking loser.
I know. Such a fuck up. Yeah. But yeah, bard for sure.
What a looser. Sure. Yeah, a bard. There you go. So let us know what you think about the D&D classes. Now we get to the tier section. Should be very interesting. So you go ahead.
Okay.
Give us what you got.
Okay. This film for me is one of my all-time favorite films. I think apart from some of the words used, it still holds up to this day as a really good film in terms of the story, the characters, and like the effects and stuff. I think it's really, really good. Like it looks pretty great, actually. Obviously, language used has come far since then.
We've progressed
and that's good, and that's fine. I just love the main characters in this film. I love their relationship. I love the whole way it just flips so much horror tropes on its head, and I will always love this film, and it is an S for me.
S tier, straight to the top. We forgot to say, in case somebody was listening for the first time, S is at the top, and then A, B, C, and D. Typically A and B are recommends, C and D are not, but they can kind of straddle of what those are. All right, so for me, this was one that is very much kind of in that middle. And ultimately, what did make it go into the B tier, I'm putting it in the B tier, was the fact that it was like 140 something minutes. It didn't overstay its welcome. And I know people start that with a drinking game with us, because I think that's our claim to fame, is the length of movies that we will harp on. And we love a movie under 2 hours. And so this is a movie that, honestly, as we're going back through it, as we talk about it, there really wasn't too much. And we only talked about there's two really main characters and then a bunch of supporting ones that very small supporting in that sense. It's really only Chip that gets fleshed out in any way. And he's only fleshed out is a byproduct of his girlfriend. Again, flipped. It's usually the girl that's just part of that. And now it's the guy. So for something that shallow, an hour and 40 minutes is perfect. Like if this yes. would have been over 2 hours, if it was made today, it probably would have been over 2 hours, like 2:10. Nothing would have been needed or added to it.
Exactly. Yeah.
I did enjoy it. Like you said, I enjoyed the horror tropes in there. The big thing to that took it down for me, as I mentioned before, was the tone. The tone yeah. was all over. If you get rid of that serious stuff, then honestly, I bet I would have liked it a little bit more. And it would have maybe hit less on the gravitas, if you will, of the people dying. But we didn't know about them anyway. Like, they're people just yes. on screen. They're archetype characters that get killed. It's a horror movie. We don't need to know about them. We don't need
exactly.
to see the parents.
That's a thing. In what high school movie do we see the parents? Like, very rarely do you see all
care.
Of the kids'
yeah.
parents. Yeah, you might see the main character's parents, but we see all these kids' parents. And yeah, I understand why you feel like that.
Yeah, we're supposed to see it through the teenagers that are doing it. We need yeah. to mourn through them, especially see them reacting to Jennifer's callousness or low shoulders. they're capitalizing on it. So yeah, B tier though, like I don't know. I would never watch this again on my own. But I would not be opposed if somebody really wanted to watch it. I would yeah. absolutely watch it again in a spooky kind of environment. I mm-hmm. would do that for sure. So yeah, definitely B tier.
Yay, I'm happy with that.
Yes, but an S tier. Woo, there we go. That's Yay. What you said. That's what you said. All right, mm-hmm. so that's going to it. Let's get out of here as my voice starts to lock up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so again, find us podonthepath@gmail.com. Email us there. Anything, comments, suggestions, requests, anything like that, let us know. Patreon.com/onthepath. Link below. Find out more of us. There are a bunch of special stuff that we've done in the past. By now, it has to be up to several dozen extra shows on there. Just $5 a month really helps us pay the bills, keep the lights on. The Discord link below. Find everybody there as well as other socials, Instagram, all that for the clips and the shorts. Lucy, where can we find you?
I am at Lucy J. Robin all over the internet. I'm doing a lot of stuff on YouTube at the moment. I'm about to start my first playthrough of Mass Effect 2. If you're into Mass Effect, you might enjoy that.
But not Mirage?
I love Mirage. Yeah, I did one day of Mirage and I'm going to find a way to fit it into my schedule because I loved it so much.
Yeah, I need to get on that too. Obviously, Assassin's Creed history. It's like 9th century Baghdad, something not explored, but a pre-Crusades thing. Yeah, I need to get on that as well. You can find me pretty much on Discord. That's the only public thing I have, but I'm very active in there. We both are. A lot of good discussions in there. Make sure to check out that Discord channel link below. Next week, spooky season continues and ends.
Oh.
It ends with a 90s classic, Hocus Pocus.
Guess what? I've never seen it.
You've never seen it. Wow.
Yeah. How have I done this?
I didn't see it until like several years ago in that
okay.
sense either.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm not too there. Far behind then.
Yeah, it is. Again, it's came out, I want to say like 94, maybe 93, somewhere around that middle, the early middle aughts. Hellacious cast. It's Bette Midler, Kathy Najimy, and Sarah
wow.
Jessica Parker.
Oh,
yeah.
So good.
Oh, they steal everything in there. Bette Midler is awesome. I enjoyed the movie. Again, I didn't watch it as a kid, so I have seen it before. We'll gladly watch it again. It's good because it leads right up to Trick or Treat, and I believe that this will come out like a few days before Halloween. I think this episode will come out like the 27th or 28th or something like that.